Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Amir Muhammad. And the name of my show, Alhamdulillah, is Why They Want You to Be Rich. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin, Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim, Siratal Ladzina An'amta Alayhim, Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Waladdallin. Ameen. But Muhammad, Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, are you there?
Wa alaikum assalam. Yes, sir, we are.
Yes, sir. Okay. Look, Alhamdulillah, the name of our show is Why They Want You to Be Rich. Why They Want You to Be Rich. The title was inspired by a talk that Imam W.D. Muhammad gave around 6 months before he passed in 2008. The talk of the date was approximately March the 2nd, 2008, about 6 months before he passed. I think it's very significant, the language that the Imam uses and the language that the Imam sanctions. I think it was meant to, I think it was meant to step us up as a community to another level. The Imam commented on a book written by President Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki. Robert Kiyosaki, of course, you know, wrote the book and many books. His most famous book is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he came upon the world scene when he went into a show with Oprah Winfrey in the 90s, and she interviewed him, and then his book became a success. It's a good book anyway. Has a lot of tremendous economic insights. Robert Kiyosaki is a proponent of financial education, financial literacy. He says you have to know about money. You have to know how money works. And a lot of times, we as a people get our lessons about money from our parents. A lot of times our parents are poor. So the only real advice our parents could pass along to us is go to school and work hard to get a good job. And that's about really all that poor people who are denied education and learning and enlightenment for so long, after all, in our history, in this country as slaves, it was against the law to teach. In some places of the United States, it was against the law to teach us how to read. And, you know, certain people were hurt and harmed and hanged and lynched and everything else, teaching us how to read and losing their freedom. So the only real advice that a lot of our parents, our poor parents, could pass along would just, you know, be a good person, go to school, you know, in order to get a good job. Well, Robert Kiyosaki says that that's not really good enough in these modern times. And he is a proponent of financial literacy. He wrote a lot of books, over 20 or 30 books, and you know, teaching us about finance and economics and other things involving money. Imam Muhammad saw this book, he obviously read this book, Why We Want You to Be Rich by Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki. And the Imam was very, very impressed by it. And here is a transcript. He says, something new, Imam Muhammad says, something new. Rich want to enrich the poor. He says, when we see what is going, this is a talk that the Imam gave. He says, when we see what is going on today, this is in 2008, he says, we see some new things happening and positive things too, Imam said. They are very positive. When two rich fellows share the same concerns and get together and publish a book, and this book they publish is given as encouragement and instruction to the average person of median income, of the poverty level, or simply poor. They are giving this information to anyone who will appreciate it and use it. Their book is to teach all of us how we could become rich. He says, one of the authors, one is Asian, he says, and one is European. This is something new that is happening when rich people want poor people to become rich. Why? The imam says, he asks the question, why? It is because they are good-hearted humans and value human life. So Imam Muhammad, he, in his wisdom, he says that Robert Kiyosaki and Donald Trump are good-hearted humans. So we have to think about that, believers. We have to think about why would the imam say that? I have my reason. We're going to talk about them a little later. He says, why? It is because they are good-hearted humans and value human life. They feel bad that so much money, this is in 2008, so much money is being controlled by very few people, and they want to change that. They know, Robert Kiyosaki and Trump, they know if they can be successful in bringing poor people into the roles of the rich, that society will be relieved of much of its burdens. The rich who come into wealth because they were favored by circumstances are tied up with their business interests, which takes up all their time. They know that if regular people become very, very wealthy, these new wealthy people will not tie up all their in industry and technology and things like that, but will share their good fortunes with their community and will invest heavily in their community. And their communities, our communities, Muslim communities, I'm adding this, and their communities will grow financially and misery will be relieved for both the rich and the poor. So the imam is saying, you know, when poor people become rich, we have our relatives and family and community, you know, our money, you know, would be used in a greater cause than almost anybody else's money because we're so poor as a people, as a race, you know. So the imam was saying that if poor people become rich, become knowledgeable and become rich, it would really help our cause and our community, our people, the Muslim community, and our race. When we suffer, the imam says, when we suffer, it eventually becomes a political issue. And eventually the government makes it an issue for everybody. The rich are taxed and the poor are somewhat relieved. But if we could be ourselves the factor for changing our circumstances, let me read that again. But if we could be ourselves the factor for changing our circumstances, nobody would be overly taxed. Everybody would be relieved, and this is what is going to happen. So the imam talks about this book, and I would suggest that you get it, Why We Want to Be Rich by Robert Kiyosaki. Also, while you're at it, and I'm talking to a Muslim audience, alhamdulillah, but anybody else Muslim listen. Imam also has a book out called Islam's Climate for Business Success. It's a great book. I'm rereading it. I'm rereading Why We Want You to Be Rich, but also as a greater book on the subject, Islam's Climate for Business Success by Imam W.D. Muhammad. I really recommend this book highly, highly. Alhamdulillah. So we'll get into a few things. We'll, you know, talk about this, you know, the headlines a little bit about President Trump sending in these Tomahawk missiles into Syria and what Ron Paul says about that. He says, Ron Paul says that's probably a false flag thing because the neocons want us to get into a war and skirmishes and things. Alhamdulillah. Muhammad, you still there? Alhamdulillah. Muhammad.
Yes, sir. We are.
Yes, sir. Okay. So we'll talk about a few things when we come back. Brother Muhammad has a talk for us, has some wisdom for us, has some good advice for us, and some just good information for our spirit and our soul and our pocketbook. Alhamdulillah. So, Brother Muhammad, please come and talk to us. This is Muhammad Khatib of Los Angeles, and I'll come back after he talks. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Yes, sir. Thank you so much. May Allah bless everybody. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I seek refuge with Allah against Satan, the rejected enemy. with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. Alhamdulillah, ahmaduhu wa astainahu wa astahdihi wa astaghfiruhu wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Brothers and sisters, it's always an honor to have the opportunity to speak with you and to spend some time with you. And in the translation, we just said, we praise Allah, we seek His aid, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I bear witness there is no God except Allah, the one and only. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And I bear witness that Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, to whom the Quran was revealed, is His servant and His messenger. And we just want to let you know how happy we are to be involved with Brother Amin on his program. And he's the only one that I know who is in a big way encouraging us to expand our mental horizon and to think on how we can get into some major funds, fundraising and setting up businesses, corporations, and to stay involved as Muslims, as good people in the society. So as he was saying, we can strengthen ourselves and enrich our families and have something put aside and established for the people of the future, our children. I'm very happy today and excited because we have one of the original and older followers of Imam W.D. Muhammad with us today, one of our special guests, Brother Khalid Abdullah. And he is, as I said, a follower of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and he believes very much in the direction, the guidance, the logic of Imam Muhammad. He's very well versed in the language, the language that secures us and that protects us from being involved in a society that's going actually or really the wrong way. And we're happy that Allah has blessed us with a community that's established on the Quran, that's established on faith in Allah, number one, and in Allah's own words, which is the Quran, and in the guidance or the leadership, Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, the one that received the revelation, you know, something that we didn't know or something that we could not know unless the Creator revealed it to us. So we have his own language, which came to a man, and we have it today. And this happened 1,400 years ago, but we have it today in our hands, and the one who was received it and shared it with us and who processed it in his own heart and mind and soul and existence was Imam W.D. Muhammad here in America. And it's because of that man, may Allah be pleased with him, that we're able to really be a brand new people, because we're speaking a brand new language. And the reason we can speak that brand new language is because we have a brand new mind. We have a mind that cannot be destroyed by the foolishness and the folly and the mountain of lies that most people in society operate off of, and that the evil ones who have plagued the society for years and worked hard to take the human being off track, we're secure from that. We're safe from that. So we're, as I mentioned, a brand new people, and I'm very happy to have another member of our community who is in association with Imam W.D. Muhammad with us today, Khalid Abdullah. I just want to say, brothers and sisters, keep believing in Allah. We know that in a few more days, we're going to have the period or the few days of extra pressure on the people to believe in idolatry. And we know that there's a lot of talk going on. The eggs are on sale. You can get them 99 cents a dozen when usually they're around $3 because people are promoting. These are some of the items that they use to promote false religion. And they tell you things like, you know, rabbits can lay eggs and colored eggs, and the people dress up like flowers and they're pretty pastel colors, and they, you know, walk around or they're around in the society. And it's all part of the festivities that the old ancient people of Rome and maybe Greece or some other places, but especially of Rome, used to promote fertility worship. And I was telling a brother the other day, it shouldn't really be called a period that celebrates Jesus. It should be more correctly, it would be correct to call it a period that they're using to do something or continue something that they always did. And it's a celebration that's centered around an old mythological figure named Attis, A-T-T-I-S, Attis. And the story of Addis was that he was very handsome and very, he was youthful, he was pure, he was so honest and clean and beautiful, handsome, and that his enemies were jealous of him. They hated him. And one day they caught up with him, and they tied him to a tree. And sounds familiar? And they tied him to a tree, and then they stabbed him with a spear. And then when they stabbed him with a spear, sounds familiar? His blood ran out. And when his blood ran out and hit the ground, then flowers sprung up. So when you see the people walking around dressed looking like flowers, and you hear people talking about that something, a flower that takes many months to grow up just springs up suddenly, then you can see that people are talking about fertility or something happening, something that wasn't happening, all of a sudden happening. So all of a sudden you have fertility cults and fertility ideas springing up. But the worst part of this period of the year is when they say that they killed God or they killed the son of God, and then they make the God into an idol. And even worse than that is to take the name of a righteous man or a righteous prophet and put his name on that old pagan idea or that pagan ritual, that pagan observance. And so the day that should be called Addis Day, which they used to call Addis Day, is now called Easter or Jesus' Day, the day they killed Jesus. Whereas we Muslims are taught in our holy book, the Quran, that they did not kill Jesus. They did not execute him or crucify him, though it was made to appear. That's actually what the verse says, though it was made to appear. So look at how they take Addis's day and Addis's murder, which is mythology. It's not real. It's a fairy tale. Look how they take that and put Jesus's name on it because Jesus was popular. You know, he was a well-known and respected person in his community. They take his name and put it on that old thing. You say, why would somebody do that? Because Jesus' teachings were moving too slowly for what the devilish people wanted to do. They wanted to actually hijack Jesus' teachings. And so what they did was they said in order to hijack Jesus' teachings or in order to promote it widespread in Rome, which is set up just like America is now. Rome was set up then. Lots of the politics, lots of the institution of America and other Western societies, Italy. You know, you go to Italy and you see statues all over the place. You go to France and you see statues all over the place. Same with Spain, you know, Germany. All of these all of these societies that we call Western societies, they're still into Roman mythology, Roman paganism, Roman religion. In fact, their main religion, their most powerful religion, is called Roman religion. And I know some people say, no, it's called Roman Catholic, but it's the same thing. So, but as I was saying, the most wicked thing they did was to take Jesus' name and associate him with that. They wanted the false religion, the idea that they killed Jesus, the idea that they could crucify him, the idea that they could kill righteousness in a man. They wanted that to become widespread. So the secret order, the criminal syndicate, I call it the criminals, they put together a strategy that says we're going to take Addis, which the people already know, we're going to take that story, put Jesus' name on it so it'll sink right into society. It'll fall right in line, and everything will be set. But the real Jesus, do people act like they believe in the real Jesus or are following the real Jesus in society today? Of course not. So what people are living is mythology. They live in paganism. They're living falsehood. They're living a big old lie. And one of the worst things about the lie, they're saying that that is actually real religion, that that's real God or of God, and they're a horrible thing that, if you want to be a part of it, a horrible thing that you have to do is you have to drink the blood of the false God. You have to eat the flesh. And so what they're really promoting is what you would call cannibalism. Now, I know we don't just see people go out here and bite each other and chasing, someone down and saying, let us respect this ritual and drink blood and eat the flesh. But if you look at the wild savage behavior, you would see that the people's mind, their mentality, is in fact a cannibalistic mentality. They won't be eating the raw flesh, but they'll be eating up the life. They'll be eating up the substance. They'll be eating up the opportunity. They'll be biting the neck of the human beings. Don't you know that some of the movies, like the concept of the Dracula sucking the blood out of the living so that he can keep on living, and the concept of the zombies and turning people into zombies, and the zombie's dead, but he's really alive. And you look around out your window and you see people walking around like they're zombies because they have living bodies, but they have dead minds. And, you know, if you look at the movie, the only way to kill the zombie is to blow his head off or chop his head off. So, in other words, if you kill the knowledge, if you kill the lies, then the evil ones die. So a lot of what we're living today is based on the falsehood that's been promoted as real religion. And like I say, in a few more days, you'll see really honorable-looking people. You'll see people dressed in dignified robes, and they'll come out, and they'll say the words, and they'll sound real spooky, and they'll be inviting the world, the whole world, to get down on their knees and pray to a statue, saying that that's Jesus. Get down on their knees and pray to, you know, an idol, and get the people to participate in the concept or the idea of practicing cannibalism on their God. And if you're going to practice cannibalism or carry the idea of cannibalism in your head and you would do it to your God, then it's nothing to live it every day in your everyday life, because the God principle is the highest code that a human being would be living by. I'm going to come back in a little while and talk a little bit more about that. That's a lot for people to try to follow in a short period of time. But, I don't get a chance to talk to people every day about some of the things that a human being should believe. But we know that there is a creator because we are created. We're living in creation. So there is a creator, but he's much more than any statue could ever be. He's much more than any human being could ever be. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, which means that his dimensions are so big that you cannot envision him. So that's why we say that the creator is not material. He's bigger than material. He has to be bigger than material if he can create material. The material world, as you know, you learned it in school, either solid. The creator has created all of that. And every fiber of the creation, every molecule, every atom, every subatomic particle has an existence, and it has a creation. And we worship the one who created all that, which means that he is bigger than or greater than or high above the material existence or the material world. His name is Allah. We say Allah. Allah does not mean anything material. Allah means the creator of everything material. He's the creator of all things, things you know and things you don't know. We worship Allah sincerely, and we find that when we worship Allah, we find that we grow. We grow up and up and up. And you know that Christ Jesus, peace be upon him, he was a Muslim just like we are. He was one of our great Muslim leaders. And one of the dynamic things he said was, he was talking to his own people. He was sent to the Jews. In fact, he's sometimes called the King of the Jews. He was sent to that community to warn them not to leave or actually to return to the leadership that they found, or the path, the righteous path that they Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, we call him Musa, Prophet Moses had them on. And one of the things that he said to them was, I didn't come to change the law, but I came to fulfill the law. And so Jesus is not an idol. He's not a statue. He's a human being. He lived long ago. He's one of our Muslim people. One of the things we as Muslims believe is that the creator is unseen. You're not worshiping the creator if you try to worship anything that's seen. Even though most people say, well, if I could see God, I could really get into God. I would act better if I knew he was watching me. But he is watching you, but he's unseen. He's the creator. Every particle has a name. Every person is an existence, is a creation. Well, Jesus said, you all have leadership, but your leadership has become corrupt. He said, I won't follow you. I will not follow your leadership. I will not follow your fathers. And he was known to not have had an earthly father. And the reason that they promote that so much, or the reason we can accept that, is because Jesus had what we call a heavenly father, which means that it's not talking about that some spirit gave his mother a child. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is that his mind, his knowledge, his leadership, his spirituality, his thinking, and his guidance that he was giving to the people of his time who rejected him, he was giving them guidance from a higher realm than the material realm. A man's father is, lays down with the mother, and then the child can be born, if it's the will of God. Well, Jesus wasn't coming at them from the idea of a father and a mother of the earth. He was coming at them from the idea of higher knowledge made him. Higher knowledge made him. We're going to break here for a moment, and we're going to introduce Brother Khaled, because he's going to have to leave in just a moment. And we'll come back in just a moment. So, Brother Khaled, welcome. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Welcome, welcome,
very
brother.
Very beautiful. I hope I come back again. And, boy, this has been wonderful. And I'd like to just interject a thought. And what the brother spoke about the rich and the poor, et cetera. So I think what we have to do is define what poor is, because sometimes poor is more of a state of mind than a physical condition. So if we want to change the people to become conscious of being rich, we have to address their mental state. Because you can give a man $1 million in a day, and next year he'd be broke. So it's not the material of just having money. The mind address the human need or the human condition, or make the human being more conscious. And the only way that's going to happen is coming into the correct knowledge of Allah. Get rid of all the falsehood, et cetera, et cetera. We have to, what they say in the Christian world, become baptized. They have to be baptized. They have to move futi high, die so they live. I think this is the only way that we'll be able to make progress. So money is just not the issue. It's addressing the human condition or the human mind, the poor state of mind that the human being finds itself in today because of the great influences that exist. So we have to think outside of the box. We have to go beyond the box. We have to come up with more concrete logic solutions based on the human being and what is his makeup, psychologically, physically, et cetera. And this is what we have to address. The money is not the issue. It's the poor state of the mind of the common human being that exists in society today. I can't speak no longer, but it's been a pleasure. I have to interject
Brother Khaled, that's a good point you made about the baptism. The Quran says, Sibgatullah, wa man asanu min Allahi sibgata. So that baptism doesn't mean getting dipped in the water, but it means
right.
Coming about in a change.
That's
and it says,
right.
Who can baptize better than Allah? The Quran is the baptism of Allah. Who can baptize you better or change your mind better? So as you said about the psychological change, that's exactly what the world needs. And I appreciate you coming. I wish you had told us a little bit about your background. Brother Khaled is a businessman. We're recording.
Yes, sir.
And everybody's listening. He's a businessman in Los Angeles, and he has been for how many years?
Ooh, quite a long time.
About 30 years or so.
He's 30.
Yeah. So we want to have him back again. And next time we'll get a little bit more history on him.
Right.
But I wanted to invite him, and it's kind of off the cuff. I mentioned last show that he would be on. But he's got to get back to work. And he did us the honor today to stop his business for about a half an hour or so now and get involved with us on Blog Talk Radio. Brother Amin, we appreciate you very much for having a show like this. And brothers and sisters such as Brother Khaled, who's already in business, and Brother Amin, who's an educator and a businessman in real estate, between individuals such as yourselves, I'm sure that our knowledge about money and our ability to get it will be elevated. So thank you again, Brother Khaled. Brothers and sisters,
Walaikum
as-salam.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Alhamdulillah. You're welcome. You're welcome. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to stop for about 10 seconds, let Brother Khaled off, and then we're going to come right back. So do not hang up. stay on the line about 10 seconds. You can count yourself if you want to. Ready, go.
Brother Muhammad is a great master teacher, a great student of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and just a great spirit, Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Thank you, my brother. Thank you for coming in and filling in. I was hoping you would do something like that. This is, I'm telling you, this show is so professional. And I hope that the brothers and sisters around the country, around the world, are listening in, because I believe with individuals such as Brother Bills that was on last week and Brother Khaled, the guest that we have now, that Brother Amin's show is going to grow and grow and grow. And we're going to see to it, because we're not people who just talk. We actually sacrifice. We actually get involved. We actually support. And one of the big problems that the African-Americans have, and Brother Khaled was mentioning it, is the way we think. And we don't think that we have enough value to where we can make sacrifices to, you know, help each other and to help people reach their goals and to show them that we got faith in their ideas. And the reason that many people don't have faith in the ideas of others is because they really don't have faith in their own ideas. They don't really have faith. You know, they wish for something, but they won't work for what they want. And So I see some other Muslims coming up now that are involved. I see some other Muslims coming up now that are involved. And what we're going to do is get their numbers so that Brother Bashir, in fact, Brother Amin knows him too. And we're going to try to interview all the Muslims that are of Imam W.D. Muhammad's persuasion. I was telling them, don't come to the studio because we can't talk to them right now. We're broadcasting. But I want to, getting back to my point, I want to encourage all of you to support Brother Amin. He's going to have to make some purchases pretty soon of equipment, the switchboard. People can actually call in and state their positions, their ideas, add to the content of our programs, and you know, get involved with us. We broadcast every Wednesday and Saturday at 4 o'clock, if you haven't heard. I hope that you will get Brother Amin's information so that you will be able to call in and send him donations or find out what he needs so that you can support him. If we don't support each other, then we're finished. I see people come in from all over the world, and the first thing they do is get with people who are like-minded, who have the same kind of thinking as them, who have the same kind of goals, the same kind of ambitions, the same kind of you know, goals. And they support each other. They help each other. You know, in unity, there is strength. That's a very old statement. In unity, there is strength. All we're trying to do, and this is part of what I'm involved in, is get our people to realize that we can do something for ourselves. We can make a bigger footprint in this society. One of the things we definitely need to be able to do, and we're going to have to do it as soon as possible, brothers and sisters. So if you know people who are interested, tell them to call me. My number is 310-925-3945. 310-925-3945. Or call Brother Amin. He's going to give you his information. And the one thing I want to encourage people to do is break out of the false religion. Break out of idol worship. They even have so many TV shows now called Idols. Worship the idols. The idols are here. The idols are back. Be an idol. He's my God. Be a god. He was a god. Look at her. She's a goddess. Brothers and sisters, idol worship is the biggest wrongdoing that a human being can do, because look at you. You're the highest creature on the planet, but here you are down on your knees praying to stones, praying to pictures, praying to statues. You're doing savage things in the name of the statue. You know that they have these different false gods, pagan idols, and in some of the pagan idols were there Mercury and different ones. Mercury was the false god of theft, as well as he was the false messenger god. He was a god of business. So here you are, you got business, you got theft in the business, and you got deceit in the business. So are you surprised that Western businessmen are criminals and swindle the people, interest, charging too much interest, charging too much taxation. Look how the state of California very recently talked about, you know, that they don't want, they want marijuana, they want drugs in the society, and but at the same time, they're charged, they're just jacked up the price of gas, they're just jacked up the DMV fees, so that it's getting harder and harder for the poor people to make it in the society. I'm not much of a politician, and Brother Amin can tell you more about the big impact of these political moves in society on the people. But I just want you to stop and think about how can we make it if we're being taxed like this, and at the same time, doped up, our minds are on drugs, alcohol is already a problem. So the people, they're adding more confusion as the people need more sense to make their way out of the problems that they're living in. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to wake up, sober up, get off of the drugs. The biggest, sneakiest, cruelest thing that's happening to people today is drugs being brought from across the border to narcotize and to make impotent the mind of the American citizen. The American citizen sleeping on the street because their minds have been damaged by people who have smuggled drugs in to America in order to, you know, to weaken us, damage our minds, to damage our thinking. And some people might say, well, you don't have to do it. But if the people are already slow, if they're already ill and miseducated and uneducated, and somebody brings in something that says, try this, you know, most people are not suspecting that the thing they're going to try would take their mind away and they never would see their real life again. So we have to have leadership that comes to us with reality. And if I could speak for Jesus just for a moment, just imagine for a second, just for a moment that I'm Jesus, I would tell you that they're fooling you. They're getting you to worship statues instead of following my leadership. I don't come of myself. I come of him who sent me. And I come to you with a knowledge. I come to you with a truth. I come to you. You can't get free unless you follow truth. I come to you with a truth that will lead you to abundant life, a bigger life than you already have. Don't you want to have a better life, a bigger life than you already have? Then listen to me and follow me. But the people that Jesus came to 2,000 years ago, they didn't follow him. They said, no, we thought you would help us get more money out of Rome and more political position out of Rome, so we're not going to listen to anything that you say. And we, in fact, are going to crucify your ability. We're going to crucify your ability to send truth to any part of the world. Isn't that what they did? So they killed his thinking. They killed his, not in the man himself, but they killed his truth with a big old lie that he's nothing but a statue who you have to get down and drink his blood and eat his flesh once a year to keep the falsehood going. If Jesus' truth was exposed to the people, if the people could get Jesus' truth, then they wouldn't need to be inoculated or whatever, or immunized or whatever every year. What is it? Actually, they're being contaminated every year. They're being hoodwinked every year. Their minds are being damaged every year with a lie that keeps them asleep, not wakes them up. If Jesus said, I come to you with a truth that will wake you up, and only truth can make you free, what free? Physical freedom? He's talking about psychological freedom. If Jesus came with a truth that made you psychologically free, then what's happening with these people, these criminals, who come with a doctrine, a falsehood, that every year they give you a lie? They don't give you the real Jesus. They give you a statue. They give you bloodletting. They give you abomination of biting of the flesh, or practicing like a Draculaism. So I'm asking the people, and I'm offering you an opportunity to get into what Jesus really knew, and what he knew was truth. He was a real Muslim. That means he gave his mind to the truth that Almighty God gave him. Like he said, a heavenly father, we don't call Father God our father, in the sense that we call our physical father our father,
But he is a heavenly leader. God is a spiritual leader for you. If you are following Almighty God as your leadership, then the world can't fool you. People can't fool you. If you're following Almighty God as leadership, people cannot fool you. And I don't care what people they are. Jesus went to people who were highly favored in their land. They were way up high. But what did Jesus tell those high-class people? He said, you're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. He said, you're nothing but a bunch of serpents. He said, you're not following the true teachings of Moses who came before me. He said, you're nothing but children of the devil. He said, you are liars. He said, your father was a liar. Father, we said, mean leader. It means leader. He said, your father's the devil. He was a liar and a murderer. Ask any Christian, they'll tell you. He said, Jesus told them, your father was a liar and a murderer. Keep in mind, they called him the king of the Jews. These are the highest people in the society. They call themselves the chosen ones. They call themselves the chosen few. They said that we are God's chosen ones. Jesus said, though, you are nothing but the children of the devil. Your father's the devil. That he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And the things he did, ye would do also. What did Jesus mean he was a liar from the beginning? Because the devil was alive when convinced Cain to kill his brother Abel. The devil was alive long after that when David was on the scene, King David, the father of Solomon, called one of the wisest men or the wisest man on earth from his time. So Jesus said that you're like your father, the devil. So the devil was busy way back then, and he was telling the people of his time, he was telling these rich upper-class people that you're still following Satan. You're children of Satan. You tell the whole world that you're the chosen one. You tell the whole world that you're God's chosen one and that you're better than everybody else, but you're really nothing but a bunch of devils. He said, it's got to be a new heaven and a new earth. We Muslims are trying to bring that on for you, brothers and sisters. So we're going to wind it down. Again, my name is Muhammad Khatib. I'm an Islamic cultural scientist. I'm a sheikh, what they call a grand sheikh. My ideas and my teachings, I'm trying to line it up as close to the Holy Quran as I possibly can. And my recent leader or guide was Imam W.D. Muhammad. I'm trying to line up what I'm talking about as closely as I can to what he taught, because here you are, millions of people later, after Imam W.D. Muhammad's time, millions of people are speaking this language like what you heard Brother Khalid and like you hear Brother Amin. Millions of people constitute this whole brand new set of people who are not lost and who don't have to submit to slavery anymore from another race. White slavery has been our downfall in this society. The criminals from Europe, from England, France, Germany, Portugal, Spain, England, France, America. They went to Africa and they stole our ancestors. And they used us, brothers and sisters. I'm a son of the slaves. I'm a great-great-great-grandson of slaves. And we're not going to take this foolishness. You ask the Jews, one of their main statements is, after the attack from the Germans, they said, never again will we tolerate this stuff. Well, I'm here to tell you that we as African Americans, we ought to say never again. We ought to say never again to the European slavers, the slavers of Europe. I'm not talking white racism. I'm talking history. We should say never again will we be victims of these people. Matter of fact, oh, Almighty God, please give us a new mind, give us a new set of values, give us a new life so that we can not only compete with these people, but so we can outthink them. We can outthink them, and we can take a course that you want us to have, Almighty God. If we're not thinking like that, brothers and sisters, you're not nowhere. And 500 years from now, you'll still be a slave. They'll still call you a nigger, if it's all right for me to say that on the radio. They'll still be calling you that because you're still sticking with the one who's been giving you the shaft year after year after year. We've been millions of people working for hundreds of years for free in this society. Is that the legacy you want to give to your children? To get them as slaves to continue to live up under another people who hate them or disrespect them or at least see themselves high above them and see you as dirt or less than form because you don't have any ideas that will raise you up. You don't have any unity. You don't stick to each other like mud would. You know, you can take mud and clay and shape it. Bible says man is made from clay. You can take that and shape it into something. I can become a better human being if I get good ideas in my clay, if I can get that. But I also have to have what? The kingdom of God inside me. Jesus said that. But brothers and sisters, I'm just asking you the simple question. Don't you see that it's time to become Muslim? That it's time to, I'm not talking about selling bean pies and fish and standing on the corner with a bald head. That doesn't mean Muslim. I'm not talking about walking around with the shoes turned up in the front and a big old turban on your head and long clothes. I'm talking about one who does what Almighty God has allowed all the other creatures to be able to do. The birds can fly freely. The wind can flow freely. The trees can grow and develop. The clouds can move. All the animals are healthy and sane. None of the animals are practicing homosexuality that you see the slavers come on TV and promote. And they come on TV and brag about how a man don't want to get with a woman, or a woman don't want to marry a man. That's sickness. That's disease. They're spreading biohazard. They're spreading filth. They're spreading nastiness in society that won't yield us clean people for the future. So brothers and sisters, stop listening to the lies and the falsehood and the madness that's being promoted in this false culture by the media, the old media that has the power to lie to you about religion and lie to you about God and lie to you about morality and dignity. I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to turn it over to Brother Amin. But I've had a good time today. This is a wonderful time that we're living in. You're listening to a person who has been liberated now. We have real freedom. I'm not talking about the chains off my hands or my arms. I got a picture right here on my phone of my great-great-grandfather, who was a son of a slave, and the name he had, he got from the man who sold him. I hope you heard what I said. So I'm not talking about slaves who have chains on their hands and their arms. He had chains. I'm talking about people who have chains on their minds, ignorance. The chain of ignorance, the chain of falsehood, the chain of fake religion. Fake religion that lets you sing and dance and laugh and run around as long as you bow down to the image of another race that's got their foot on your neck. You're praying to the image of the people that used to burn you alive, that used to hang you from trees, and you don't want to change. You don't want to do anything about it. You still drink their liquor. You use their drugs. You are still begging them for opportunity instead of trying to do something for yourself. I have to stop now. But inshallah, and that means God willing, we'll talk to you again. In the meantime, think about what it means to be one who does what the Creator wants. The birds do what the Creator wants. The fish do what the Creator wants. The water, the earth, the air, the sunlight, all of them obey the Creator, and they're totally free to do everything that the Creator made them to be able to do. But what about you? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. May Allah bless each and every one of you. My number again is 310-925-3945. I have over 3,000 lectures on various subjects, mostly culture and religion. I'm talking about things that are happening right now and what we need to do about them, what we need to do about our lives right now to more life, abundant life, and get that abundant life now. You might as well say we're definitely the people of Jesus, the real people of Jesus, the real people of Muhammad, the real people of Moses, all the way back to Adam, the first human being. It's time to get our humanity back, brothers and sisters. It's time to stop pretending that we're slaves, that we're chumps, that we're sellouts. It's time to stop pretending that we can't do anything for ourselves. It's time to get your real mind back with knowledge and logic, as Brother Khaled mentioned. Get your mind back with truth. Get your mind back. It's time to study real things now, no more falsehood. Thank you again, Brother Amin. May Allah bless you to continue your wonderful show,
sir,
and this great opportunity that you have for us to talk about what we need to be doing with our lives and with our future and for our children. May Allah bless you. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaikum as-salam. Thank you, Brother Muhammad. Thank you. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Yes, that's Brother Muhammad Khatib from Los Angeles, alhamdulillah. And praise be to Allah. This show is why they want you to be rich. Like I said, it was inspired by Imam Muhammad's talk about why we want you to be rich by Robert Kiyosaki and Donald Trump. Alhamdulillah. Now, this is the last show that I will have using this number, this call-in number, which is 805-727-7013. I'll have another number. I don't know exactly what that number will be. I'm going to try to broadcast tomorrow at same time, 4 o'clock, because when it's 4 o'clock here, it's 7 o'clock in New York City on the East Coast. And I'm trying to reach the, both coasts, the Pacific Coast and the Atlantic Coast, or California and New York. So I'm trying to start broadcasting at 4 o'clock here and 7 o'clock there. And so I don't know exactly what my call-in number will be, of the number that you will need to call in, alhamdulillah. But if you consult my Facebook page is New Africa space code and STEM Academy. New Africa space, like the space race, like the space, outer space. New Africa space code is another way of saying computer science. This is what I want to promote in the Claire Muhammad School that I want to get behind here on the West Coast or in Los Angeles, Claire Muhammad School. So my Facebook page is New Africa Space Code and STEM Academy. And you could see the new dial-in number. So I won't just be on the air on Wednesdays and Saturdays, inshallah. We'll be on the air more times during the week at 4 o'clock. So spread the word. Tell everybody you know. Tell everybody you know to call 10 people. And those 10 people call 10 people. And those 10 people, each 10 people call 10 people. And tell them about, we're going to talk about what Imam Muhammad told us to do. And Imam Muhammad, like I said, want us to be rich. And we need to talk rich talk. We need to add the word rich to our lexicon. The love of money, like I was listening to a talk this morning by Robert Kiyosaki. I have his audio sets too, and he's talking about how people think. They say the love of money is the root of all evil, and Robert Kiyosaki, his rich dad told him, no, the love of money is not the root of all evil. It's the lack of money, the lack, L-A-C-K, the lack of money is the root of all evil. So we need to start changing some of these things that we've learned that haunt us every day, that hold us back, and these voices that say to us and our children, oh, you can't do it, you won't do it, you can't, come on, who do you think you are, all that. You know what I mean? These are some of the voices of negativity of the slave master. The slave master taught our people to say that to us, all these are slavery teachings that they go back decades and maybe centuries, of putting our people down for trying to do things. So Robert Kiyosaki, he says, money's not the root of all evil. My rich dad says the lack of money is the root of all evil, so we need a different vocabulary. So consult my Facebook page, New Africa Space Code STEM Academy, and look for a new call-in number. And so now I'll really be able to take calls and do a little bit of the metric business involved in broadcasting. And we're going to do what Imam Muhammad wants us to do. He wants us, Imam Muhammad, he's not with us anymore, but I can hear him talking. He wants us to be rich. He wants us to be rich. We need to talk rich talk. Of course, morally based, ethically based talk. We don't do anything for money. We don't. We're Muslims. We're good Muslims. The best Muslims. So, alhamdulillah, we do want wealth. We need wealth. It's time.
this time. We've had almost 90 years of a good teaching, starting way back with Farad Muhammad. When Farad Muhammad first came and he met Elijah Muhammad in 1931, and the little Elijah Poole started following this man and became intrigued with some of the things that this man was saying to him about how your people operated and how your people lived before you were taken slave by the slave masters and sold and stripped and kidnapped and come over here on slave ships. Well, Abu Elijah Muhammad was intrigued by this little educated man who used to, you know, tell him stories about his uncle. He says, my uncle. And Abu Elijah Muhammad started following this man and was inspired to want to tell other people about him. And he kept talking to other people for over the years. And Abu Elijah Muhammad built a cadre of followers and other believers who came to really love and respect him and will kill a brick over the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You couldn't say nothing about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad disrespectfully. You probably get your jaw broke or something. Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's a fascinating, intriguing history that we have, a great history, you know what I mean, here in America, the Islamic movement here in America, you know, and it evolved to where we got the real deal when Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed and turned the organization before he passed over to his son, Imam W.D. Muhammad. And Imam W.D. Muhammad came and gave us a greater amount of information and wisdom and knowledge and introduced us to the Quran and the real meaning of the Holy Quran. So we, in 1975, so since 1930, how many years is that? From 1930 to 2070, plus 17, about 87 years of collective information, collective knowledge of a movement, of a people, and, you know, and our Clara Muhammad School, Honorable Elijah Muhammad's wife. Sister Clara Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad's mother, Clara Muhammad. Our school system is named after her, so we have to do all we can to start a school here in Los Angeles called the Clara Muhammad School, and here all in California too. It's Southern California, down below in San Diego and Los Angeles, up north in Oakland and San Francisco. We need to get the Clara Muhammad School because it's in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Clara Muhammad history. It's a lot of history, a lot of inspiration, a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge that we need to have our children face and get every day, you know, that they know that they're sprung from great soldiers for God. And truth and righteousness, and our children will get that sense of inspiration and willpower and learning in their veins and their minds and their souls. So we need that. We need that. We need that. Alhamdulillah, I'm asking you to help me do all you can to help me establish Sister Clara Muhammad School here in Los Angeles. We don't have a Sister Clara Muhammad School. And alhamdulillah, spread the word. And we want that here in Los Angeles. So why we want you to be rich, why they want you to be rich. That's the name of our show. Why they want you to be rich, Imam W.D. Muhammad. It's so much talk about Donald Trump, of course. You know, of course, a lot of us, you know, still believe that you know, maybe the white man is the devil. Maybe deep down, sometimes we say, well, we can't follow white people, you know. But Imam Muhammad says he's good-hearted humans, you know. Now, within the last few days, there's been a lot of the news about the Tomahawk missiles that were unleashed on this site, this airport site, because Bashar al-Assad was accused of using chemical weapons against these people, and over 11 children were killed, about 70-something were killed, and about 100-something were injured in this gas attack or poison chemical attack. But one brother on Facebook, he sent over something interesting. He caught something. I do consult with Ron Paul. Remember Ron Paul ran for president of the United States, and he was able to give his position about these wars, these foreign wars in the Middle East. And I really supported him. I really supported Ron Paul. I used to go and see him, me and my little daughter, I used to go see him at these rallies. Of course, the media tried to ridicule him. Oh, old Uncle Crazy Ron Paul, all that kind of talking peace and mind our own business and stay out of the Middle East and don't just want to shed blood. That's the type of talk that Ron Paul talked. And he had opportunity because he ran for president. Remember, he ran for president in 2012? And he was able to get his platform out there. And, of course, they wanted to ridicule him and everything. And but he's still number one. He says we should audit the Federal Reserve. You know what I mean? We don't know who controls the Federal Reserve, who owns the Federal Reserve. It's not really a part of the U.S. government, but it controls our money system. Remember, Ron Paul, he talked about audit the Fed, and he got all those congressmen to want to sign these bills and everything to audit the Federal Reserve. And then also his other part was peace. Stop beating up, blooding up, killing up the Muslims all overseas, dreaming up and scheming up some excuse to, you know, kill Muslims. You know what I mean? And then when, remember George Bush attacked, all those people were killed when he attacked Iraq, and they say something like 500,000 people. Look at the statistics, were killed, and all those orphaned children. Well, we still got that mentality. Ron Paul, just today, talks about, he said the neocons, these people, these Zionists who are a part of the government and very influential and a part of the media and everything, they just want to, it seems like they just want to kill. They just get I remember that brother, what was that journalist, this African-American brother, looked over at William Crystal and said, "Golly, all you want to do is kill people." They were on a talk show on Sunday or something. That brother's name, an African American brother. Look it up. He says, "Golly, it looks like all you want to do is just kill people. All you talk about is killing." And so that's the neocons. So they maneuvered our president, Donald Trump, into, but you know, he could have shot those Tomahawk missiles on a population center. I think he probably says, "Oh, no, shoot up the airport, shoot up the air." You know what I mean? Just a whole airport. Alhamdulillah, I'm sure glad. Even though they say about 9 people were killed, but I think the United States gave warning: get out of that airport. Get out of, from what I understand, get out of that airport. You know, and then they shot those Tomahawk missiles and just destroyed the airport. Well, that was a good thing. I mean, I'm glad it wasn't a population center. I'm glad, you know, alhamdulillah for the human life that was lost, 9 people who were at the airport. But I can see President Trump says, "Look, how can we do this where we wouldn't." You know, kill people. So somebody said, "Well, we could attack the airport. How about the airport? But see if you could not kill anybody." You know, even Mama said he's a good-hearted human. Well, what? Yeah, he's a good-hearted human. You know, he signed 2 months ago, about 2 or 3 weeks after he got into office, he signed a legislation that no more federal money would be used for abortions. For abortions. And who are the biggest, one of the biggest abortion recipients in the United States or in the world? African Americans. Since they say it's a statistic, you know, statistics, not, you know, look it up. It's a statistic that since 1973, 17 million of our African American girls have, or and women, have received abortions. 17 million since Roe versus Wade in 1973. You know, so President Trump, he's doing his best to do away with abortions. No more federal money, you know, and plus he got these evangelicals behind him also to who he has to answer to. No abortions there. They don't like abortions, you see. So, hey, man, mama say he's a good-hearted human. I kind of agree. You know, he has his little quirky ways. He's kind of emotional. He's getting old. You know what I mean? Older. You know what I mean? They accuse him of different stuff. The women did it. Accuse him of this and accuse him of that. You know, of course. I mean, accuse of Cosby of doing this and Cosby doing that. Whatever. You say. You know what I mean? So in order to kill him off in our minds, African American minds, here's another devil. Here's another devil. Oh, he's a devil. You know what I mean? So look at his policies, though. Look at his policies. That's what I want African Americans. We shouldn't say anything about it. African Americans, you know. He says, have been hurt more than anybody with illegal immigration. That's what he says. He says African Americans have been hurt more than any other American citizen with illegal immigration. And there's all kind of studies and all kind of books, all kind of Harvard books, and I forgot this guy's name. He's supposed to be an expert. I could find it before I give it to you. But just look it up. All kind of studies. He says, yes, illegal immigration has really, really did us wrong. You know, come in, you know, and they undercut us for jobs. You know, they say, well, we didn't want the jobs. Well, you know, jobs is jobs. Now, a lot of illegal immigrants are taking, like, contractors' jobs, roofers, plumbers, electricians, all, you know, it's just really bad. So, you know, he wanted to, do away with that. Now, as a Muslim, as an African-American, I'm not for rounding up, you know, Latinos or these people, rounding up, separating them from their families. No. But yes, let's be serious about everybody following the rules, following the law. You just can't come into this country illegally. We don't want people to do anything illegally. You know, we are a land of laws. We're not a land of men. We're a country of laws. And so we have to have laws that we follow. Let's don't be hypocrites because, you know, some of these corporations wanted cheap labor, you know, and act like they're, you know what I mean, act like they're fighting illegal immigration and then create these sanctuary cities where, you know, a federal person cannot ask or inquire about someone's citizenship. You know, you know all this hypocrisy. I mean, good God. But as long as it's us, the Americans, oh, well, you know, yeah. Sanctuary cities, there's 200 in sanctuary cities, they say, about 200 sanctuary cities in 32 states of the United States. You know what I mean? Coming in, undercutting us, coming right to our community. Alhamdulillah. You know what I mean? So it's just true. We don't want anything. We want everybody to follow the rules and the regulations and the laws as best, you know. So he wants to kind of like, I'm not for rounding up people and, you know, putting hardship on them. But let's just stop it. Let's just plug up the border some way, you know. All right. And then he just got this judge in, you know, this Gorsuch in, okay? And he, you know, is a conservative, like the judge who he is replacing, you know, and maybe we'll get this same-sex marriage stuff that is coming over America, where bathrooms now, or a man could go in a bathroom if he say he's a woman, and a woman could go into a man's bathroom if she says she's a man, and then they'll cut your federal funding if you don't go along with it. And if you don't go along with it, if your Bible says, well, homosexuality is a sin, well, okay, just disregard your Bible. Oh, we can't. Well, if you believe that, well, you just can't get any federal funding. So all of a sudden now you have to disavow your Bible, you know, or your Quran, you know what I mean? So these are some of the things. So these are some of the positions that Donald Trump has taken. Anti-abortion, even though he has mentioned, he says, well, gay something something is the law of the land. That was a political statement. But all the people who, all those evangelical Christians and everything that really helped him get into office, you know, they know that, he's their man. They know he's their man. So, anti-abortion, anti-same-sex marriage, and vouchers. Okay, he put this woman in named Betsy DeVos, and I'm repeating. Some of you people have heard this broadcast before. I'm repeating. We have to repeat it because we're getting a whole lot of other static. And then we're going to have more programming, more different programming, and a different suite of things to say and participate in as time goes on, inshallah. But he put a woman over the Department of Education named Betsy DeVos, who is a proponent of vouchers, and our Clara Muhammad school system could really use those vouchers. And alhamdulillah, because those vouchers could follow the kid, and the kid could go to any school that he wants. Any school that he wants to go to, including a Clare Muhammad school or Catholic school or Buddhist school, Jewish school, if the Jewish school accepts the vouchers. And I know Clare Muhammad schools, inshallah, is going to accept the vouchers. You know, if we get, we just can't wait to see what's going to happen to President Trump. He's going to be the president. So we might as well be proactive, you know, and start our program. We have an agenda. Ibn Muhammad gave us an agenda. You know, he wants us to be rich, and he gave us a vehicle. Our vehicle is collective buying. We have to get together with people in our community who we know and trust, and we need to pool our money, and we need to study more. We need to get the Wall Street Journal, start buying economic and financial magazines when we go to, you know, Ralph's Market and all other markets, you know, get financial. We need to kind of like force ourselves to start thinking more financial and economic, you know what I mean? We need to start thinking about being rich. Kiyosaki was saying that when you say, I can't afford it, he was saying his rich dad told him, look, when, this is Robert Kiyosaki saying this, he says, when you say, oh, I can't afford this, it shuts your brain down. You should ask yourself, Robert Kiyosaki says, well, how can I afford it? How can I afford it? By you saying that to yourself or asking yourself, how can I afford whatever I want to do or whatever, you have a tendency to kickstart your brain. Your brain starts operating and because it wants to solve that problem. You're asking the brain, how can I do this? How can I afford this? How can I finance this? How can I begin this business? How can I begin this enterprise? You see, when you ask yourself, you know, what will it take to do this? What will it take to do that? when you ask yourself these questions, your brain kicks in. We need to exercise. According to Robert Kiyosaki, I'm on his CD this morning. I was listening to it in my car. He was saying we need to exercise our brain, give our brain a little bit more of an exercise. And don't say, oh, we just can't afford it, oh, we can't do this. You just can't shut down. Don't shut down your brain like that, you see. So he says, you know, don't say I can't afford it. Say, well, how can I afford this? How can I do this? What will it take for me to do this or do that, you see? So it's a different way of thinking. And Robert Kiyosaki shares these tidbits of wisdom and information and knowledge, great knowledge. Imam Muhammad says, good hearted human, why you want to? Look, follow Imam Muhammad's advice. Get the book. And also get Imam Muhammad's book, Islam's Climate for Business Success. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. So, sounds up. You're going, okay, alhamdulillah. All right, bro. Look for a new call-in number. Look for a new call-in number. Go to my Facebook page, and I'll see if I could also get the information on other Facebook sites. And listen in as much as you can to the show. Let's see, alhamdulillah. Also, in this talk that I was listening to by Robert Kiyosaki, you know, he kind of differentiates between the types of information that we get when we go to school. He says the schools, you know, in his book, and one of his books is called Conspiracy of the Rich. He was saying that this was deliberate. It was a school organization that was created by the Rockefeller Foundation, Rockefeller people. Where maybe in like around the turn of the century, like 1900 or so, when they had an attempt to keep financial information out of the schools, out of the elementary schools and, you know, primary schools and high schools, junior high schools, you know, to not teach financial information at these schools. And Robert Kiyosaki goes into that in one of his books. He says, our schools teach more scholastic and professional skills and not money and money mastery skill. You see what I mean? So he says a lot of people who become lawyers and bankers, he says, and doctors and this thing, are still struggling, even though they may be high on the food chain as far as a salary or whatever. When it comes down to having insurance companies, maybe an insurance company takes over a doctor's or a dentist's office, the whole thing, because of malpractice suits and all kinds of things that these doctors are accused of and all that types of insurance that they need to operate and everything. So even your doctors, you know what I mean, are really not out of the fire. Even though a doctor has, you know, a degree in, or lots of degrees in science and medicine and everything, so he says our schools teach professional and scholastic education, but no real – so a lot of doctors maybe have a medical degree and really know how to handle money. So he says financial education is even good for them, you see. And then also, you know, he's not to be funny or anything, but sometimes we take our advice from our relatives, and a lot of times our relatives are poor. You know, and so they give us a poor person's advice, you know, and this what makes us vulnerable to a lot of negative consequences economically. So on our way to become rich, these are some of the things we have to study and talk about. You know, we'll be able to talk about this several times a week. You know, let's talk money, let's talk finance, let's talk economics, let's talk rich, let's talk about being rich, let's talk about being an entrepreneur, you know, entrepreneurs and starting businesses, you know, and let's talk about educating our children right. One thing I know about Robert Kiyosaki, even more so than Donald Trump, is Robert Kiyosaki has board games, kind of like Monopoly games, but they're not really Monopoly games, that teach financial education to children. He got some for children. He got some for adults. And these are some of the things that you can engage with your children at the table as a family, and at the same time teaching your children, you know, financial literacy and financial vocabulary and financial manipulation and for financial strategies. These are some of his board games. Robert Kiyosaki, look that up. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Like I say, I'm right in the middle right now. This is Blog Talk Radio, and right now I'm at the Blog Talk Radio site information, getting ready for my new show, and my new time and everything, and I'm completing that. So, Allahu Akbar, I want to sign out. I'm going to sign out. So look for a new call-in number, and I'll close out. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Omidin, Iyaka Nabudu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim, Sirata Ladina Amta Alayhim, Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim wa Dalin. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum. Let me turn around.